Welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast where we try to help Black people feel seen. Please rate us and write us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. 5 stars only because we are 5-star bitches. Word to Yo Gotti. I'm your host, Sequoia. And today, joining me to talk about Black phrases and colloquialisms, we have Travell and Jared from the Fanti Podcast. Say what's up, y'all.
Hi.
What's up, y'all?
Well, you know who was Jared, because that's a very Jared response.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what was said?
What y'all got going on? Like, tell them who y'all are, because they got stuff going on. Both people here have lots of things.
I'll go first. I'm Travell Anderson. I am an entertainment journalist, editor, social curator, world changer, forthcoming authoress times two. I co-host Fanti with Jared, which he will tell y'all about shortly. I also co-host a daily news podcast called What a Day. Check us out for your morning news recap. And yeah, Jared, tell the people who you are and about our podcast.
I'm just Jared. back to you, Sequoia.
Right. I mean, to be fair, Jared did just come off a flight.
Listen, I was on a flight an hour, like 50 minutes ago. I am Jared Hill. I am a producer, writer, and primarily journalist, and now professor at USC, Annenberg, teaching journalism as well. It sounds really cool. I'm not that interesting. Like, let's just be real about it. Travell and I are authoring Historically Black Phrases, which will be out in September. We are under a year away from the book coming out, September of 2023. Travell's also writing We See Each Other, which will be out in the spring, chronicling a personal history of trans lives on film. Did I say that right, Travell?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we host Fanti, which is a show that is about the things that we're big fans of, but have some anti-feelings about. And so those things can range from celebrities, television shows, the movements, you know, the social medias, all the different things. And that show comes out every Thursday, wherever you get your Slate-worthy audio.
I love that. Wow. Y'all are concise. Y'all straight to it. It's like y'all have done this before. It's like you have a podcast or something. Right. It's like you do this all the time or something. That's kind of crazy. I don't know. Okay, y'all. Before we get in and talk about Black phrases, which I'm so happy to have y'all on here about, because y'all are experts pretty much on this topic. It's incredible. We have the first segment of my podcast called In My Defense. In My Defense is a segment where we bring one of our controversial or unpopular opinions and defend it for you all. Previous In My Defense, the most notorious one that I've done, just for example, so I can give y'all context. I like a food that many people have thoughts and feelings about.
I feel like I know what it's about to be.
I think you do. I'm certain that just by your reaction, I can sense that you do know what it is. It's something called a chitterling.
I knew it.
Oh, period.
I knew I was going to be by myself. I already felt attacked when you started this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I set you up. Yeah.
I did so much to be here today, and this is what I said?
This is how we repay you? I'm sorry to do this to you. I'm sorry. It's not right. It's not right at all.
You'll be fine.
But let me tell you something. A chitterling is delicious. So that's like an example in my defense. I don't have one this week. Usually I have one. I couldn't think of one. I'm all out of y'all stuff to give y'all to drag me for. So I'm going to push it to y'all. If y'all have anything off top of mind, it can be food related. Mine are usually food related because I have weird food opinions, but yeah.
So I can start here. In my defense, there is a food item that you people really enjoy that I, for a long time, have been pretty sure I was allergic to and did not like for that reason, but still have not ventured into even after getting the test at the doctor recently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This melon of the water,
oh,
it just don't hit for me, right? When I was in fifth grade, I ate a lot of it and like broke out in hives and all this other shit. Now, the doctors have told me that I can have the water and the melon together.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not interested in finding out that they are wrong, right? Because as you have pointed out to us, I got shit to do. And what I cannot do is be on your television box, on your internet machine, with a broken out face because I tasted some watermelon that I didn't want in the first place.
Why are you mad at me about the watermelon? I didn't give you the watermelon. I don't understand.
So, unpopular opinion, not a big fan, but I'm going to try it soon and we're going to see what the Lord has to say.
You know, I grew up on watermelon, Jared. You know, we used to call it nigga apple where I'm from.
Not nigga apple. It wasn't.
We did. Where I'm from, shout out to South Carolina. We used to call it, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I'm just a product of my environment. What can I say?
So y'all be like, oh, you want some nigga apple? And your response would just be like, yeah, I want some nigga apple. That would be it.
Like, I want to be in the grocery store, in a very white grocery store too, with Travelle, and be like, where the nigga apples at?
Right.
Period.
The funny part is, Jared, you know we can do it. You know I'm down.
I'm done.
The gag is, as I said, I was like, can we do that?
Enough. Please. Please. What's worse is, once they find out you're looking for watermelon, that doesn't make it any better. You know? It's like...
And then I have to overcompensate and be like, it's not for me. I'm allergic.
Sorry, I can't have it. Yeah, no.
Not doing the stereotypes with you people today.
I'm nothing like you Negroes, right? That's the vibe you have to give, right? Yeah.
I cannot. My hot take or whatever. You know, I don't know if this is really a hot take or not. But, you know, as Jared knows, I consider myself to be a fried chicken connoisseur. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as I was prepping for our conversation today, I said, you know what? A thought that I have about fried chicken that we don't say often enough because we believe in just like, you know, reverence and respect and all of this other stuff is that, you know, no shade, Popeyes and KFC is better than your Meemaw's chicken.
Low key.
No shade. No shade.
I'm talking original and extra crispy.
See, I was with you at Popeyes. KFC! You're kind of losing me at KFC. That Kentucky Fried don't hit. That Kentucky Fried don't hit right.
Those 200 seasonings or whatever the fuck they're doing at KFC, it hits. It's still good.
The breading, the paper is too thin. I need you to...
That's real.
You can do the extra crispy.
Yeah, you know, and I have heard that the extra crispy will do something for the girls. I just haven't tried it. I have not tried it yet.
You should have it with a nigga apple.
Right. Let me get some fried chicken and the nigga apple on the side.
It'll set it off, I promise.
For dessert. No, that's fair. Jared, I just want to know. So you thought you was allergic to something that is 99% water.
Okay, first of all, your tone is really rude.
It was just a question. I just had a question.
Just a follow-up.
It was just a follow-up. Right.
First of all, I don't appreciate the allergy shaming.
No, I would never do that.
Because I am a person, okay, with a body who responds. I got nothing. I don't know.
I am mildly allergic to watermelon. Just a light itch, though. So I still eat it. It's just a light itch. I don't get hives or nothing like that.
Travelle, here's the thing.
Let's stop here. Let's just cut the bullshit, okay? Let's just cut the bullshit. Travelle likes to also tell people that they are psychologically allergic to mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, I am.
I have taken said psychological allergy and now applied that to all melons because I don't like melon in general.
Mm.
Give me melanin, I'm in.
Mm.
It's not hitting.
You are wild. I'll give you context, Sequoia. You know, I just don't like mushrooms. But, you know, people don't take you seriously when you say you don't like something because you don't like something. So you have to elevate it to the level of an allergy because we take allergies seriously. But it's not a real allergy, hence psychological.
Wow, did I just get put up on some game? I like that. That's good. I don't like cheese at all. I don't like cheese at all.
Who hurt you? What's wrong?
Y'all, I'm recording this video right now, and I'm actually going to have to show y'all what the face is just. I don't like cheese, and people simply are like, oh, you're lactose intolerant. And I'm like, I'm not. I just don't like it. And so now I've just started to say, yes, I am lactose intolerant. So I've been practicing this psychological allergy for a minute anyways. Listen, or intolerance. Okay, so we're here. We see each other. Full circle. Look at that.
Period.
Now, see, I got to say, I've used psychological allergies with melon since meeting Travelle. I also use it with cats. I don't like cats. Cats make me uncomfortable. They make
not
me nervous.
Not people's pets.
At when there's a cat in the room.
Garfield ain't never done nothing to you, okay?
What did Garfield do to you? We just want to know.
Garfield has never left me a lasagna, so fuck him, okay? Point. How about it?
That feels personal. It feels personal. Okay, no, that's fine. I'm glad that we have come around to psychological allergies. I'm definitely going to keep that in mind next time somebody asks me about my cheese disdain. I'm going to say I have an allergy and the psychological is just going to be quiet.
Now, Sequoia, this is not my show, so I don't want to run this, but I do have a follow-up question. What is it about cheese and who hurt you?
Naturally, journalist follow-up question. I get it. Cheese is disgusting.
Be careful. Hey. Be careful with the adjective now. Hell.
I have a visceral reaction when it is placed on my palate. It simply does not align with my spirit at all. I gag. My body rejects it instantly. Now, fake cheeses I do like. A Cheetos cheese dust, a movie theater nacho moment, any fake cheese, I'll love it. I could drink nacho cheese from the movie theater. That shit is fantastic to me.
First of all, you with the crazy straw?
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
And it's
thick, yep.
So it's not even really coming up well.
Okay, now I'm disgusted. Now I'm fucking disgusted at the thought of it. No.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, it's just nasty. That's really the base of it for me.
Okay. I'm a pray about that. And you know what? It's fine.
Thank you for your prayers.
I'm going to switch it up, sis.
I appreciate
that. I'll get it. I don't have to get it.
Right. That's okay. Yeah. No, it's fine. We're going to move on just because I'm feeling attacked and embarrassed. So the song of the week, this week, the song of the week. I have one. I did bring one of these. Y'all want to start with y'all songs that y'all want to
like
touch on? Go for it.
So, you know, but I'm a Fantasia stan, okay? And normally when folks ask me anything music related, I go straight to Fantasia. Okay, our season 3 winner of American Idol. Okay?
Not you know the season. Okay, yep.
Absolutely.
Anything music related. If it's like, hey, what's your ringtone? Fantasia. Hey, what's playing in the car? Fantasia. What are you humming in your head? Fantasia.
Yeah. For today's purposes, I decided to do something different.
Wow.
You know, because the podcast is about, you know, black folks and white people shit, you know, the Paramore and all of
right.
that. I decided to go with the white person's song. Although I think we would consider her, I think we would adopt her in the race war in particular.
Oh, I love this. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so wait, hold on. Wait, before you say it. Before you say it. Because when you said that, I was like, oh, it's like one of three people. Right, like
oh, it's definitely. Like- it's easy. Right. I can narrow it down from there. I have one person in mind right now. I can narrow it down from there. Yep. Okay.
I'm like, it's like a JoJo, Tori Kelly, maybe a, mm-hmm, not Justin mm-hmm. Timberlake. You said she.
She's in that family. Absolutely. She's in
it's
that family.
It's giving Adele. It's giving, like, if there's a handful of white women
mm-hmm.
who we would take in the race track.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Kelly Clarkson. Maybe a Kelly Clarkson. I thought JoJo.
Okay, so it's none of those names that y'all just mentioned.
Okay.
A little older.
Oh, I know who. Wait, can I guess again? Is it Tina Marie?
It absolutely is. Okay.
Okay,
and it's
come
one
on.
Square biz. It's a
come
square,
on, square biz,
biz, okay? That's my jam. It's been my jam for like the last 6 months. Okay.
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
it gets me together. Shout out to Tina Marie. Okay.
Shout out. R.I.P. Shout out. Yeah.
Wait, did Tina Marie die?
Yes. I know this one because my mom had concert tickets for her tour before she passed, and my mom
oh, wow.
gave them to her brother.
I was gonna say she good and dead because she died in 2010.
I'm leaving this podcast. I'm turning it off. I've had enough.
Tina Marie gone. Okay,
gone.
She, honey, they done cleaned up the repass. They done had 12 other ones at the house. She's gone, gone. Okay.
Gone.
Shout out to Tina Marie. May she continue to rest.
Rest on, miss, okay?
Keep on doing what you've been doing for a while, girl.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Wow, I did not realize. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes. Okay, so not going with a white person, and in all the effort that it takes to not name something off of Renaissance, because it feels cliche at this point.
Yes, I've done so much Renaissance on this podcast, yep.
100%. I'm going to go with a Black queer artist who just dropped a new album.
Mm.
The album is called Wanderlust.
Okay.
And it is by Duran Bernard.
Oh, yes.
Now, I don't know if I'm breaking the rules here, and I'll take the arrest if I need to, but this entire album is fantastic.
It is good. It is good.
This is, I think, Duran's fourth album, if I'm not mistaken. And, like, this album is fantastic. He has an album called Dur Ampersand. Fantastic. Like, I'm a huge fan. I'm a little late to some of the party, but that's fine. Okay? I'm trying watermelon later. I've been listening to Duran Bernard.
You're coming along, right.
Slowly, but surely.
Slowly, but surely, yes.
Wow, Duran the voice. The voice on Duran is...
It's just there.
Like, it don't make no damn sense. I'm always shook. Every single time a clip comes up on my timeline, I'm like... Mm-hmm. Why is my body feel this way? Why am I astral projecting this way? It don't make no damn sense. I think I saw Duran at a party a couple years ago. My friend, like, works in the music industry, took us to a party. Somebody was playing the piano. Somebody who's also like,
oh, Steve Mackey.
Yes,
at Taco Tuesday.
Yes, 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 yes. It was so fun and it was so good. Like hearing Duran live, I was like, oh, this is crazy as fuck. Like, I don't know what my body's experiencing, but this is crazy as fuck. That was a really good one. That was a good one. I need to check out the album.
The new album is called Wanderlust. Go check it out. Like, Duran Bernard is producing extraordinary music, and I think everyone should go check it out. Duran is D-U-R-A-N-D.
Hi, I'm Kate Casey, an unscripted TV expert. Three times a week, I interview the talent, directors, producers, and hosts of television's most popular reality shows, docuseries, and documentaries. I get all the behind-the-scenes stories. I cover everything from The Bachelor, Selling Sunset, and Real Housewives to Tinder Swindler, The Last Dance, and Secrets of Playboy. Join me as I ask all the questions that you want asked. And best of all, I'm the most trusted source on what to watch every week. I will give you a guide on everything from true crime and sports to competition, calling from all streaming and cable networks. The best guests, the best shows and series, Reality Life with Kate Casey.
Love it. Love it. Okay, that's a good one. Okay. For mine this week, my song of the week. This is a Halloween-y song. I am very much a Halloween-y girl. It's my favorite holiday. Kind of neck and neck with Christmas. I like them both. Man Eater by Nelly Furtado.
Oh.
It's such a fucking bop. Do y'all remember that?
Yes.
Cute.
It's been on a loop. It's been in my playlist lately. I tried to curate this little Halloween vibe playlist. Man Eater popped up. I said, incredible.
Nelly Furtado has some bops, and we don't talk about that enough.
She has some bops. She has some bops.
You're right.
You know why we don't talk about it?
She
no, Nelly
is
has
she a,
now.
Is she a Republican or something?
Yes, yes. Nelly, not a Republican, but Nelly went back and disavowed her promiscuous girl days. She was like, that was the feminist machine brainwashing me.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Our Canadian pop princess has gone right. I was going to say gone left, but she's gone right on us. So. Right. We hate to see it. She went right on us. And,
you're right and so wrong at the same time.
It's bars coming out of this episode. Hold on. It's so many bars. I'm shook. Okay. Yeah.
I've been trying to let y'all know that I've got bars, but people don't like to believe me.
When the album coming out.
Well, they just roll their eyes at me when I say it. So I appreciate that you just said it unprovoked.
Travell is rolling their eyes as we speak. Just
period.
Yes, currently. Yeah.
Throughout every conversation.
For those of you who can't see, Travell's eyes are certainly rolling. Listen, right
as okay. In a constant rotation.
Yeah.
Just over and over and over.
Yeah. And that's okay. And that's fair. But I believe it. I'm hearing bars, so I'm for the bars. I like it. You know who else has bars? Black people as a whole. With phrases and colloquialisms and idioms.
I see what you did there.
Black people love it. You saw the transition. You saw the transition. I was kind of proud of myself for that one. I like that one. That was good.
Are you ready for this segue? Are you ready?
I wasn't even prepared for that. I didn't know I had that in me, but yeah, I had that. Okay, I could have did that. Yes, Black people really do. You know, I'm talking my shit too. But Black people really do have a hold on the phrases, the colloquialisms, the idioms that make their way into mainstream society, even aside from just, you know, having their corner in. I would prefer for them to stay in the Black corner of things, but you know.
Absolutely. Sure.
But I want to talk about the little Black phrases, mm-hmm. Black colloquialisms, Black idioms. I'm going to do a brief little explanation of what it is. I feel weird explaining it to y'all because y'all know exactly what
it's all right.
You know, but I'm going to do it anyways. Phrases, right? Thank you. Black phrases come from AABE or African American Vernacular English. AABE, according to my little Googles, is debated between being a language or a dialect. Mm-hmm. But it originated in Southern United States as a result of or during the transatlantic slave trade. That's a little synopsis I'm going to give without getting too deep.
Mm-hmm. That was perfect.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Do y'all have, is there anything I missed that y'all want to add onto that?
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think that, you know, there are debates, right, about whether AABE is like a language within itself or if it's quote unquote broken English, right? Jared had mentioned earlier that we're writing a book called Historically Black Phrases. It'll be out fall 2023. And that's something that we've been talking about and that we kind of discuss in the book is that, like, no matter how you kind of come down on it, you know, Black people, we have taken what words we have been given. We have created some. We put a little extra seasoning, a little stank up on it. Okay. You know, and we've created something that is wholly ours, right? And now, as you mentioned, so much about of the language that we started as Black folks, as Black queer folks, right, is now mainstream language, right? It's on TV. It's on, you know, they talking about it in political spheres. It's literally everywhere, right? You can buy it on a t-shirt at Forever 21 or whatever. And so, yeah, all of that's because, you know, we are deeply imaginative and innovative people.
Mm-hmm. Period. You know, I was going to ask, why do y'all think this is happening? But, you know, Travell just cleared it. As simple as that. That's how it is.
Well, and I think to Travell's point, like the ways that we see, well, to both of your points, the ways that we kind of see things showing up around the world. Like I was at LACMA within the last year and a half or two. And actually, that's not right. I Googled it to make sure. It was here earlier. It was before that. But there was an exhibit in LACMA called Beyond Bling, which had nothing to do with hip hop, nothing to do with Black culture, right? Hmm. But it was about jewelry from the history of this woman named Lois Boardman, who I don't know. But like, I remember walking up to the exhibit and seeing the word bling there. And at the same time going, huh, and hearing bling, bling, everything, like, I don't know, right? Like doing the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, so this is, we're here, right? This was 2017. But like, that was from when I was a kid, right? Like we were singing bling, bling. And so it's like to see the ways that like Black language gets torn apart, judged, degraded, you know what I mean? Disrespected. But then also like, oh, but we love this, right? Or we want to say that, or we have mm-hmm. fun with those words. Right. Oh, that sounds cool coming out of my mouth. Let's put it in a museum in an exhibit. Right. And so
right.
There's this interesting dynamic of simultaneously trying to degrade who we are or disrespect or not appreciate in other ways who we are, but also really wanting to have an attachment to like the culture of who we are. And we're talking about that a lot in this book about language specifically. So
I am very excited about this book. Can't wait to get my hands on this damn book. You said 2023, September?
Yeah, September 2023.
Okay. Okay, fantastic. Gonna have that in my calendar. But I'm from Long Beach, y'all, or, you know, LA County, Long Beach, to be specific. I noticed some phrases seem to be kind of regional. For instance, in order to prepare for this episode, I asked my Instagram their favorite Black phrases. And most of them I had heard, you know, naturally, because, you know, Black. But some responded, "I ain't seen you in a month of Sundays." And I thought to myself, I've never heard that in my life. That's country. I'm like, that's country. Where's that?
So that's actually a really great point. It makes me think about two things in the book. One, country versus Southern is a conversation versus Black, right? Is a conversation that we've been having in the book, in the process of the book. But then also, like, we brought together all of a group of friends of ours to like read through the pages, right? As we were going through, I guess it was like turning in like the third draft of the manuscript or whatever it was. And it was interesting to have them go through all the chapters, right? And read all the essays that we've written. And like some of them to be like, oh my God, my mom used to always say that. Or I'm saying this all the time. And then for some people to be like, oh, I've never heard that. Right. Or I think I've heard that one time. And it highlighted for me in that moment, but also in our interviews, that like this idea of, you know, being monolithic and all that kind of stuff that we're always trying to debunk, but like more so the idea of like Black diversity showing up in various different kinds of ways, right? In our interviews, like one of the interviews, someone was talking about not growing up around a lot of Black people because of where they grew up in the Midwest, right? And how like the only access that they had to Black culture was television and music and then the internet and things like that. And so it's like, hey, how would I have that language, right? If I wasn't growing up around Black folks that were saying that, or I wasn't exposed to certain shows and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been an interesting element. But even you talking about country and Southern and stuff like that, like we were like, what is the distinction between something that is Black, something that is Southern, and something that is country, right? And really kind of parsing that out and like, without going into all the details, like we've kind of figured out that being Southern has something to do with like culture and tradition, right? Uh-huh. And being country has more to do with the land, right? And being rural and being kind of removed from folks and like speaking in a different kind of dialect in a different kind of way. Whereas being Southern, sometimes Southern shit has a little film on it that should be like, I don't know about it. But it landed for me, right? That didn't quite hit right. Or that sounded like it could have came out of white man mouth about 200 years ago. You know what I mean?
You know?
Right? And so like we've been like, what is the distinction between what is Black, what is Southern, what is country? Like it's an interesting conversation that we've been having.
Welcome to Sufficiently Black,
a show that explores what it means to be comfortable in your Blackness despite living in a world obsessed with stereotypes.
Host Kia,
Amari,
and Janae
deep dive into Black womanhood.
Personally, I know that when I walk into the room, I'm seen as Black first.
Yeah.
Then I'm seen as a woman. The glass ceiling is already like there.
It's already above my head.
It's already above my head. Like shattering that bitch is real tough for me.
Yeah.
Identity.
I feel beautiful, and my mom's telling me, my immediate family are telling me I'm beautiful, but everything else around me is telling me like I'm not beautiful. And so I never wanted to be lighter skinned or white. I just wanted the fucking privilege that came along with being light.
And culture.
It doesn't matter how much money you have as a Black person. You will never in your life, you could say I'm not Black, I'm OJ, you could say whatever you want, but you still are going to be Black. It doesn't matter.
Through a critical lens as they navigate their way through adulthood.
I want to look back at this year and say, damn, like that was a comfy ass fun year. That's what I want. Like I want this year to be like I'm running around in sweatpants, but have a glittery top in, like figuratively.
Join us every other Tuesday for funny.
And this is why I'm angry, yo, because I'm like, damn, I was giving so much energy to these boys who like could not call what we were doing what it was, which is a relationship, dude. Like it's a relationship and I'm giving this all this goodness to you when I could be giving it to myself. Or someone else.
And intellectual conversations.
In order for Black people to survive, you have to play a game of not being yourself.
About what it means to be sufficiently Black.
Trying to mind my business and be Black. That's basically about it.
Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Bye!
Bye!
Bye. Yeah, I had never even thought about it until I saw that particular comment. And I was like, okay, so there's definitely a regional component here to historically Black phrases or colloquialisms, which is kind of hard to parse out because, again, most Black American folks that are descendants of slaves in the United States have some Southern roots to some degree. So it's difficult to parse that out because I'm like, this is country, but like, my daddy from Alabama, so I don't understand how I missed it. You know, I'm like, what is this? Like, I don't, how did I miss this one?
All of this, like, even when you look at just like the way that language in and of itself, right, has changed over the years, how it's changed over the months, right? Because our language changes. The things that are popular today might not be popular in 2 weeks, right? But all of it, so much of it traces back to the Great Migration, right? So, and you can trace how things that were, one of the things that's been great about us doing this book in particular, Jared is from the West Coast, from the Bay Area. You know, his parents have Southern roots, as you mentioned, yours. I'm from South Carolina. That, you know, my people still there, okay? We you know, and they ain't never leaving. That's their choice, right? And so we've had similar situations where it'll be the same phrase, the exact same phrase, but Jared will say it one way and it means something completely different, right, than what it means how I say it, right? And yeah. So like, but that's the beauty of our tongue as yeah. Black folks, right? It's one of those situations where, you know, if you know, you know. If you yeah. don't, you don't. And that's cool too.
Simple. You know? Let's leave it like that.
One of the ones that we've had this conversation about like, I use that differently than you do.
Yeah.
Act Right. If you saw Act Right written on a page, how would you use Act Right?
My name is Tom Buck, and this is The Enthusiasm Project. Join me each week for deep dives exploring the world of what it means to be an independent creator on YouTube, starting your own creative business.
Hi. This is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class, tomorrow's exam will cover the science of perfect pitch, the history of pride flags, and speedrunning video games. Any questions? Ah, yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else.
My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
And keeping a positive, enthusiastic mindset along the way. New episodes of The Enthusiasm Project are available every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
If I just saw the phrase act right written on a page, act
and you're
right.
Like, oh, this has to be plugged into a sentence in okay. a Black ass way.
In a Black ass way. For me, two different ways come to mind.
Good.
Okay. I can think of the lean way, like activists, where they're calling activists act right. Is that not one of the ways that comes to... Okay, so that was not one of the ways that y'all had... Okay. All right. All right, yeah. Right, right. It's like, okay, activists act right. You want to get you some act right. You need to get this...
There.
Okay, but for me, that's like lean. That's a medication. But for you, what is act right for you? Is it not? What is it dick? Because I can also hear it being dick.
we've really gone beneath the subconscious with Sequoia Holmes here. You took that in a different direction than we were going.
For real, like you said, that's drugs for listen, you.
Holiness is right over here, and I just want to be clear about that. Holiness.
Ain't nothing holy about
also
you.
Also, Dick
honey.
Is right. Also, Dick is right.
Dick is so. Right, right? Get you some act right, or you like, or you could be like, I mean, he's not acting right. He needs to act right.
Right. And so like this came up because I've had this idea for 6 or 7 years. Right. And so I've like been compiling phrases for a long time. And we have like a cutting room floor where a whole bunch of things didn't make it to the book because it was too obvious what it meant or people wouldn't get it or whatever. But like in the listing, we divided up the chapters and like Travel took act right was a part of one of the chapters. Right. And when I read the definition, I was like, oh, you're hitting that different than I was, right? And it started that conversation of like, oh, I see this as that. You yeah. see this as that. And like my grandparents coming from Arkansas, Mississippi, you know, the South, my parents being Midwest and West Coast, all that shit has kind of filtered down in different kinds of ways. So it's been interesting specifically to use your examples there. Yeah.
That is such a good example that I would have never thought about. Just, I wouldn't even thought about like the regional differences that can play a part in, the way that the phrases have meaning. I would think more so about the pronunciation of the phrases and just the inflection of the voice and how that can give different meanings. I have two examples for that. First one, I was talking to my friend. She sent me a voice note yesterday. She is a consistent guest co-host for this podcast. Her name is Jewel Wicker. She's a journalist.
Oh, we love Jewel.
Jewel, that is truly one of my favorite human beings on this planet. Love Jewel so much. Jewel sent me a voice note yesterday and she was like, she said, am I worrisome? And she kept saying that. And I was like, I was like, I truly do. I said, Jewel, are you saying worrisome? And she said, Sequoia, don't play with me. She said, Sequoia, don't play with me. I'm tired of you calling me a country bumpkin. Yes, you know I'm saying worrisome. I said, no. This time I do be playing with you, but this time I really didn't know what word you were saying because it was fast and there was a certain inflection that you had that I just am not used to hearing.
Because sometimes, you know, as Southerners, right, we drop certain letters, we put the emphasis on a different part of the word, and you know, sometimes the people outside don't know what the hell we saying.
People outside,
and that's the thing, right? The people outside can be other Black people who just say it differently. But it also could be white people. It could be, you know, the community that makes up outside changes depending on the context. But, you know, that's the beauty of it. Go ahead, Jared.
Because, like, I hear worrisome. I think my second stepmom, she used to say that all the time. Like, she would reference people as being worrisome. Mm-hmm. We're not getting into that follow-up.
We left it, friend.
We didn't have no follow-up.
Shout out to my first stepmom and my second, okay? But she would call people worrisome. My babysitter when I was a kid, Miss Jones, she would call people worrisome. And, like, that meant that they, like, got on her nerves, right? Oh, he's just worrisome. Or, like, he gets on my nerves. He does too much. Or he's irritating. He's annoying. That's how worrisome was used for me, like, when I was a kid.
Okay. And the way that I guess I had never even heard of using that context because you just cleared up because she absolutely, now that you gave me that context, was asking me if she's annoying. And I thought that she was asking me, is she a worrywart?
Yeah.
And I was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting about that is you said she said it in a voice note, right?
Yeah.
So as you said that, I thought to myself, have I ever spelled worrisome? Right. And that's been a part of this conversation with the book is like, how do we spell? How do we say? How do we write? How do we translate what that means? Worsome? I'm like, would that be worsem? That seems too, right. I don't know.
Is it word like wu? Like, you know, it's like.
Some things ain't meant to be spelled out. Okay. Y'all worried about using the alphabet. Some things don't need to be alphabetized.
Sometimes okay? You don't need to do all that.
You don't need to do all that. You just need to feel it. It's meant to be audible. Audible experience.
That's very fair. Like audible experiences are like very much a thing. So hearing her say worsome, if she had, she wouldn't have been able to type that out because I wouldn't have known what the fuck she was talking about. But speaking audible experiences. That girl versus that girl. I saw somebody on TikTok talk about this. Damn, I wish I had written down who that person's name is. I'll try to put it in the show notes. That's another example of like the inflections and how that can play a part in what is AAVE or a Black phrase versus a standard American English phrase.
Mm-hmm.
White people say, oh, I'm that girl. Whereas Black people are saying, I'm that girl. And it just has, it just has a different vibe, a different flavor, and it almost has a different meaning to me. If you are that girl, you're a TikTok girl who has the clean girl aesthetic or some other internet thing. Whereas if you're that girl, you're just that girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
When you say that girl, right? Like, it's funny because me and my bestie, we, who's also named Jarrett, we will spell girl like G-W-U-A-R-H and maybe an L if we're feeling it, right?
All
like,
these extra letters.
Right, exactly. I mind you, this goes against my rule about like slang language cannot be longer than the actual language, right? The words can't be longer when you spell them out. It's stupid. But girl, like, girl. Hey, my girls is here.
You gotta chew on them vowels. You do. You gotta eat that. You definitely gotta.
You gotta move. You gotta take your mouth and wrap it around. You know, if your mouth is not, you know, doing an oblong shape, you know, when you say that word, then it's not hitting. It's not.
You're not doing it right. You gotta be that girl. You know,
that's me and Sequoia over here making ovals of our mouths, like
looking about dumb as hell. That growl, you just, I mean, but that's what it is.
Up them vowels, I'm not gonna let that go, just so you know. That's
I got that from a TikTok too. See, I'm talking about that girl versus that girl. Meanwhile, I'm stealing shit from TikTok. Yes. And that, but you be chewing on it. You do be chewing on them vowels in a different way. And that is so Black. Like, something about that is so Black. And Black people are just good at this. But before I try to, I usually try to give a theory as to why I think Black people love whatever the topic of the conversation is. In this case, why I think Black people love colloquialisms or idioms or phrases. But before I get into that, I want to know, what are some of y'all favorite colloquialisms, Black colloquialisms?
So this started off with me doing Facebook posts, right? Because like I was like, explaining what something meant, and it was just funny. And then I did it again and again, and then people started asking me like, oh, are you doing a book? And I was like, yeah, that's what I'm doing, right? And like the first ones were like, I ain't one of your little friends, right? It was fuck boy, because like a nigga had gotten on my nerves, and I was like, we need to define this. We had Travell loves to call out in our interviews like, do you got McDonald's money, right? Like that's one that Travell uses a lot, right? That might be an issue for us with publishing. We'll talk to legal about it. But you know, like those are the ones that I feel like I hear us talking about a lot when we're talking about the book.
You know, I'm country. I'm Southern. You know, I feel like a lot of the things that I just say, you know, every day, people tell me, people being Jared, be like, what'd you say? Like, what was that? And so, like, even the one you mentioned earlier, I ain't seen you in a month of Sundays. I literally said that twice today already before we got on this podcast.
Stop. For real?
Yeah.
That's just a common one.
Yeah. Even if I saw you last week, I ain't seen you in a month of Sundays. You know, the context, you know, shifts the meaning from time to time. But in the book, we have a range of stuff in the book. We have some regional things, as you mentioned earlier. I think a lot of my favorites are just like the ways that we affirm each other as Black folks. And a lot of times, it's not even actually a word, right? A lot of times, it's a sound. It's a hand movement. Mm-hmm. You know, I love a shoulder shimmy moment.
We love.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But we don't talk about how the kind of embodied part of our kind of linguistic experience is just as important as the words that we actually use. And so, you know, I talk with my hands and my whole body all the time because the words alone just don't hit, okay? You need my head to nod, you know, so that you know, so that you can get it. If you, you know.
I do. I do get it. And I agree. It does add a lot. When you see the hair get to shaking, it adds something. It does do something.
It means something different, right? The first time I ever thought about how inflection matters, I remember someone was talking about like Mandarin, and they were saying like, oh, when you draw the characters this way, if you just do a little thing, it means that. But if you do a little different thing, it means something different. And I was like, that's crazy. And then I remember being a kid, and there was a commercial. I think it was for like Just For Me, but it was like Home Perm. And the commercial was like, you get your hair done, and they're like, ooh, girl, who did your hair? And then a week later, it's like, ooh, girl, who did your hair? Right? And I'm like, oh, that inflection matters. Right? Mm-hmm. That inflection is the difference between yes and, ooh, no.
Right? I was triggered by that second one. I felt real triggered by that second one. Said, ooh, I have to go inside and cover it up immediately, whatever I did wrong.
Right. That inflection matters, right? The way that we inflect, the way that we use our hands, the way we have an essay in the book called Language Lives in the Body, right? That talks about how we move and how all of those things are important and how they show up in our language. So it's been great.
I love that. The inflections mean so, so much. Ooh, yeah, still kind of lingering on that. Who did your hair? Because that stressed me out. My favorite Black phrase. This one, I'm not sure if this is just like a my family thing, but my grandmother loves to say, he called himself over there with his little girlfriend or something like that. Like they called themselves, he called himself, you know, like, what are you implying here? What you saying? I'm not what?
That's exactly what she's implying, okay? Precisely.
Exactly.
Well, he saw himself having a little attitude when he got home the other night, so I had to let him know. You know what I mean? Like, I pulled up stuff from my childhood. I didn't mean to do that. But there's two things in there that you just used, though, right? He called himself is one of them, but little is the other
one. Little girl, yeah. Little, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I had to specify, because I said, oh, I slipped into another one, too. Yep.
Exactly, right? And so little is in the book, and it's like one of those favorites that it's like, little is the simplest, most covert, but very direct way to like diminish anything, right? Oh, you know, I like your little house. Oh, I see a little car. Oh, is your boyfriend? Well, you got your little degree. Okay. is this a little phone? Oh, okay. Right, you know, anything little is rude.
The power that one word has. Oh, it's powerful. Yeah, no, it's so rude. Yeah, my grandma good for a they call themselves and little for sure. You about to get both of them.
Oh, he got a little attitude. He called himself trying to be mad.
He called himself yelling at me on the phone.
Listen, okay? I always like to just, you know, broaden the conversation just a little bit. You know, that's my thing. But I also want to note, like, you know, we're talking about, like, you know, spoken language. But I also wanted to note that, like, Black folks who do sign language also have Black American sign language, right? So it's sign language with some seasoning on it. Very similar in the ways that, like, those of us, right, who speak our language also do it. So I just, you know, for the signers out there, I just wanted to note that, like, it's not just a spoken thing, right?
Yes.
It shows up in other ways that language manifests for Black people specifically as well.
Travell, come on with it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. You got me. We are here. And that brings me to why Black people love these things so much. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this can also apply to, what is Black Sign Language called? It's ASL. What is Black Sign Language called? Do we know?
They call it BASL, Black American
okay.
Sign Language, or
okay.
Black ASL. Yeah.
I feel like it can apply mm-hmm. to both spoken and nonverbal. Black people in the diaspora, in my opinion, appear to be just a very expressive people. Black cultures overall are more vibrant, they're more flavorful, and African American languages are no different. That's it. Spoken and non-spoken are no different. I think that's why Black people love them.
I think, to your point, I think that we love them because they also like mean something to us, right? Mm-hmm. We talk with the linguist in this process about like what these different things mean, why they happen, et cetera. And she's like, you know, we talk about the way that we speak as if it's not a language, but like, she's like, the way that we speak is a real language, right? Mm-hmm. It is something that should be studied. It is something that should be written about. You know, people should be doing books about it. As we were talking about it, I was like, I hadn't even thought about it as being a real language or not. But hearing her say that, it resonated with me like, oh, yes, we let white people tell us all types of shit about ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. That we're not beautiful, that we're not smart, that we're not capable, that we're not talented, that we're not, you know, whatever it is, that the things that we do are not valid, that they're not real, that the way we talk isn't right, that it's all of those different things. And like that started to come up for me in the process of this book as well, right? Like the ways that we talk about and think about the work that we do, the ways that we talk about and think about the things that we create, that we're a part of, all of those things. I think that's why it matters so much to us, right? One of the debates that we had in this process was like when we're spelling things that are not traditionally spelled, right? You know, we love to drop a G off of something, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's a conversation about like, do we put an apostrophe there or do we just let the N be the end of the word, right? Mm-hmm. And how do we make that decision? And does it work here in a different way than it works there? And all of those kinds of different things, right? Because mm-hmm. to me, The apostrophe feels like white folks coming in and be a part of the conversation.
That's exactly where I just got when you said that. I said,
ooh. Yeah, but also like when you're writing it, it looks a certain kind of way to not have all the letters there. And Travelle said something on the show that has been a part of our conversation in the last couple of months. But like sometimes stuff is a little too yo, right? And it's like, okay. And Travelle was like, I just got to say, like, the thing without the apostrophe, it feels a little too yo for me. And I'm like, you can't be going out into the world.
Listen, and it's no shade.
But it feels a little too yo.
I want to play it's no done. Shade to, you know, our yo brethren and sistren and siblings. It mm-hmm. is no shade, right? However, it is what it is. Just an observation. But, right, I think another thing about, like, why we like we like our language in the ways that we like it is also, for many of us, the terms that we use, the phrases that we use, they're connected to these memories, right? And by making sure that we continue to use these terms and these phrases, we make sure that those memories, right, don't die. We make sure that our family histories don't die in a lot of ways, right? And so, like, I think a lot of times we're just talking just to talk, right? And we use the phrase that comes to mind that most accurately fits whatever situation we're in. And if that happens to be, you know, one of these phrases that we've listed thus far, great. If not, we use what we need. But we also are very much into, I think, perhaps subconsciously, just like making sure that we as a people are continuing to maintain the specificity and the uniqueness of, you know, of us being Black folks, okay? You know, of us being, you know, I say sometimes nignogs, you know? We're such a complex people that often gets, you know, I think boiled down and simplified into something that is very monolithic and straightforward. But you know, we all know of the phrases that we all know, that we all have some sort of attachment to. And there are phrases that like that you've never heard of that are still Black, right? And does not, you not knowing it does not question or take away from your Black experience,
right?
Because all of our experiences are different, but there is some connection and some synergy in all of that. And even us just doing what we do, refusing to code switch and even code switching, right? When we need to, as a means of survival, as a means of signaling safety for community, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of that is us carrying on, right? A legacy that, you know, folks before us, you know, put up.
100%.
One of the things that Travelle said on the show that I was like, what did you just say? Came from your grandmother and is in the book now. The rooster don't crow no more. Still haven't heard anyone else say that, to be clear. But Okay, wait. Yes. Sequoia, what does used to the rooster don't crow no more mean?
Okay, it's something that's no longer taking place, something that's no longer happening. It could be somebody's youth leaving. It could be somebody no longer being present on the earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody not waking up anymore, because roosters, you know, crow, they wake you up.
These are great guesses. They're still wrong.
Okay, that's fair. Okay.
No, they're not. They're close. They're close. Okay. They're close. You're in the family. Again, this is a phrase that's also context dependent, as many of our phrases that we've discussed thus far are context dependent. But you sit a rooster don't crow no more is basically like a response that you have, you know, when somebody's like, oh yeah, well, we've always done something one particular way. Well, you sit a rooster don't crow no more.
Oh, wow.
The past
okay.
is the past. Why? Wow. You know, the past is the past. You sit a rooster don't crow no more.
And you know what? No, you know what? It really worked. And what's wild is I couldn't say that. You know, there's just like, again, there are certain inflections that are required to pull certain things off that I don't have. So if somebody said, you know, we used to do it this way, and I was like, used to the rooster don't crow no more.
When you say it, it gives civil rights. You say it and it gives civil rights. When I say it, you know.
Not it gives civil rights. Travell.
Indeed.
Please don't embarrass me on my podcast. Please don't embarrass me on my podcast like that again. Why would you say that to me?
Travell said it's giving very segregation now. Segregation.
Listen,
right. Okay. That's what I heard.
And it was insult to injury, because I already heard it when I said it. I already felt it when I said it. And I did not need them to reiterate.
But to your point, Sequoia, you know, there is a thing where, you know, when somebody has like lived with a language.
Yeah.
When they have lived with a term.
Yeah.
And when they have not. Right. Because we, across, I this often pops up when we're talking about, you know, white folks in particular who, you know, the white folks who like grew up in the hood, right? And, you know, have an ease with which they say certain things. And then you have 100%. The white people who learned Black language off of TikTok, right? And it don't hit the same.
Nope.
Which one is Chet Hanks?
Ooh.
I don't have to do that.
You didn't at all. You did not at all. But that's my point. And even with Black people, though. But even with other Black people,
you certainly
not all of us have a yo-yo-yo type of experience. No shade. You know, not we don't. We don't. And you
well,
know,
here's the thing, right? Because if I came into the conversation and Sequoia was like, oh, you know. And I was like, oh, Riverside is so cute. I love that we're recording this program. And I'm like, oh, we're so just used to sit doing X and Y, Z. And you were like, well, used to the rooster don't crow no more. I'd have been like,
well, you would have been like, what?
Exactly. Exactly.
To be honest with you, I'm going to just be real straight with you. If anybody other than Travell says it at this point, I'm not buying it.
I'm not. Right? I'm not.
We took the creative license and put it in the book. Right, to honor Travell's grandmother. But ain't nobody else saying that I know of.
Nope. And it felt so natural coming from Travell. Like, the moment that it escaped, I said, oh, yeah. No, certainly. Yeah, you're right. It don't. You're right. It simply don't crow.
Cut to me being on the air and hearing that the first time and being like, what did you just say? Now, hold on. No, wait a minute. I know we're talking about the heavy things in the world, but what?
Right, run that back. We're going to talk about that one. No, that is a really good one. I can't get off this podcast without telling y'all just a list of, giving y'all a little list of some idioms, colloquialisms, phrases. You better than me. Somebody said, this one was funny to me. Somebody said, that baby been here before. I'm like, black people do like that one.
Yeah, you got an old soul. You got an old soul.
Absolutely.
One of my personal favorites, I'm the wrong one / I'm the right one, because they both mean the same thing, good. Because you know, either way, you're in trouble.
Absolutely.
I feel like I was just talking about this last night, maybe with you, Travell, or somebody else, but like the idea of having the right one and the wrong one is really about inflection, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you got the right one today, bitch, right? Like that's a whole different thing, man. Oh, you got the wrong one. Like, you know what I mean? It's a different thing.
It's different, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're in trouble. Spin the block. If someone said that one, I was like, okay, that was a new one. Spin the block. You acting brand new.
Brand new? Brand new?
Mm-hmm.
Brand new is some stuff that I feel like Black folks love to use a brand new, right? Oh, she real brand new today. Oh, she don't know who I am? Right. Oh, you can't speak? Oh, she came in real brand new.
Brand new. Jasmine Sullivan got the song brand new.
Period.
Mm-hmm. We know. That's a good one. And then to round it off, my faves as a whole, as a genre, are the ones that kind of rhyme and have some type of alliteration and have two words associated with, like, oh, we ripping and running, or we hooting and hollering.
Hooting and hollering.
I love those. That's a good genre.
Here's the thing. I've been working on this for 6-7 years, so people tag me in this shit all the time. Right.
Right.
And since we've announced that we're doing the book, people are always sending these things to Travell and I. Right. Ripping and running is different than running and ripping.
Ooh, I don't know running and ripping. I couldn't tell you what that one is.
I can't remember what the song was, but a rapper referenced a girl as a runner and a ripper. And it was like, oh, see, that's very different than ripping and running. Right. Like,
absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Should we explain that, or do we need to?
No. If they know, they know.
Cut to the people who pause and Google right now. Runner.
Right.
Ripper.
And ripper.
Ripper. Runner. I don't see it, Lord.
Ripping and running.
I don't see it, Lord.
I don't know. But yeah, that's all that I had, y'all. Did y'all have anything y'all wanted to round off with? Any final thoughts that y'all would like to give?
I will just say that, you know, y'all buy this book when it comes out. And maybe we will be back to discuss it in more detail, you know,
in
next
a year.
Year.
Yep.
You
yep.
know, in more specificity. But yeah, it's been a really interesting process diving into this. Largely because we just like how we speak. You know, it's different on purpose. It is different on purpose. And we shouldn't try to run away from it. I'll leave it at that.
Period.
I'll say, if you want more information on the book, or you want to be kept up on what we're doing with the book, or you want to submit phrases that you're excited about, you can go to historicallyblackphrases.com. And like the announcement about the book is there. Signing up to be a part of the conversation is there. And we'll be having more updates as things happen with the book for pre-order and all that stuff. But September of next year is when it'll be out. And Sequoia, I just got to say, I met you working at BuzzFeed 100 years ago, right? Well, maybe 5-6 years ago. And like that experience was amazing and awful for me in a lot of ways, right? It was, I got the opportunity with this book, right? Like, cause we were developing a television show.
I remember you talking about it then. Yep.
Yeah. So we were developing a television show at BuzzFeed that never ended up moving anywhere, which we can talk about on a different podcast, cause that's a different conversation of trauma. But like, I remember like, all of the Black folks at BuzzFeed were like in the room, right? It was like, all of us are here. We want to talk about this. And I remember you because you were always really excited to be there. You're always a part of the conversation. I was like, I want to work with Sequoia. Like, Sequoia is awesome. So I'm really excited to see you continuing to grow and develop and doing a show now and all that stuff. So I'm excited for it.
Thank you so much, Jared. No, it means like a ton to me. Because I remember when the whole shit went down and suddenly you were gone from BuzzFeed. And I was like, what the fuck? And yeah. Then you reached out. I was like, I'm so glad that he reached out, because I thought that I was just never going to hear from Jared again. And BuzzFeed has stripped me of my opportunity to get to know this person. And I was like, oh, this is great. BuzzFeed already stripped me of too much. I'm not having
no,
enough.
No,
okay.
Another episode. Okay.
Right. Another episode for sure. But tell the people where they can find y'all, please.
You can find me at Travell Anderson on the Twitters, at Rayzhon, R-A-Y-Z-H-O-N on Instagram, TravellAnderson.com if you want to, you know, pay me for something. Mm-hmm. I will welcome that. And then we are together at Fanti Podcast. That's our show. Available every Thursday at Fanti Podcast on all of the socials. Okay, Jarrett?
I am at Jarrett Hill, 2 R's, 2 T's, and Jarrett everywhere. Twitter, Instagram.com, Facebook, wherever. I'm trying to be on Facebook, but like, who, you know, bro. I'm trying to engage a little bit more, but yeah, you can find me everywhere at Jarrett Hill. And as Travell said, Fanti, new episodes are every Thursday, wherever you get your slay-worthy audio, as we always say on the show. And yeah, historicallyblackphrases.com is where you can find out more about the book.
For sure. And as y'all know, you can email me with any topics you would like me to cover, people you would like me to invite on the show at blackpeopleloveparamore@gmail.com. You can follow me on social at BPLPpod across all social media platforms. DM me, you know, send me hate mail. Tell me why you love me. All those things. And that's it. Thank y'all for joining. It has been fantastic. I am so fucking happy with how this episode came out. This is great.
Thank you for having us.
Y'all are fantastic guests. All right. Bye, y'all.